It's Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. Thank you for joining us today. The City of Lansing's financial health team's been poring over the city's ledgers for more than 2 years. Recently, it announced that Lansing has the highest unfunded liability of any Michigan city or county. City government's on the hook to its retired workforce, more than $400 million in health care costs. It owes $200 million in pension obligations. Just days before he issued his annual State of the City report, Mayor Virge Bernero told WKAR that Lansing's in good fiscal shape in the short term, but that it can't afford to ignore the debt into the future.
And the truth is that this is far enough away that I could afford to ignore it. I mean, I could probably be mayor another 5 or 10 years, and this would not affect us immediately. But in the long run, it spells potential financial disaster. And I'm not content to just hand over a hot potato to the next mayor and let them deal with it.
For more on this issue, we welcome two members of the Lansing Financial Health Team. Neither is a stranger to our program. Dr. Eric Scorsone directs the MSU Extension Center for Local Government, Finance, and Policy. Welcome back, Eric.
Good to be here.
And David Hollister chairs the city's financial health team. He's the former mayor of the city of Lansing. Mr. Hollister, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
We heard the quote from Mayor Bernero. We interviewed him about the Lansing city budget about 2 weeks ago. Is he right about the short term? Are finances stable month to month, year to year right now, Eric?
Yeah, the city's doing pretty well considering the situation. We're certainly happy in the short term. We want to continue to see improvement, of course. Certainly the long term is going to continue to be our concern.
They're well managed. They went through the last recession, making some pretty substantial cuts, reduced their staff by 30%, closed some golf courses, closed some fire stations, got major concessions, negotiated with unions for new employees being hired now, changing their benefit levels. It'll save a lot of money over time. And their credit rating's among the best in the state for municipalities. So Virge is right. He could duck this if he wanted to, but I give him credit. But the rubber's going to hit the road here sooner or later, and these issues have got to be dealt with.
Yeah, that big looming number, $600 million in unfunded health care and pension liabilities. Eric, I'm looking at a table you've compiled that shows Lansing's population is just under 115,000 people. That means the per capita, per person liability, $3,767. Why is Lansing's debt the highest in the state? How did we get here?
Well, these benefits have been offered for many decades, and the problem continued to build. And this is true for many Michigan cities. Lansing wasn't actually the worst. Detroit was by far the worst, but the bankruptcy, they resolved many of those issues. And Flint was also one of the highest. That has also been resolved to some extent through changes. And so Lansing, wasn't necessarily the worst, but others have made changes that have lowered their numbers over time.
Of course, the changes would be bankruptcy in the city of Detroit, emergency managership in the city of Flint. On the current course, then, David, are we approaching some sort of tipping point?
Not unless we're in a recession. There's signals on the national level, international level, slowing down the economy. If we go into a mild to a normal recession, the city would be facing some really tough choices. A couple of other pieces of this, Mark. You've got more and more people retiring, living longer, and the number of employees available to pay into the system is going down. So cities have been cutting their employee staff, more and more retirees, and as they retire, they spend more and more on health care.
Mm-hmm.
So those factors really are driving this number.
Now, before we move on to some more recent developments here, including the what's called performance-based budgeting, and also about an outside consulting firm to help the financial health team maybe explore some new solutions that haven't been considered, are there minor course corrections that the city could take sooner as opposed to later?
Well, I think the city's done some of that already with some of the new employee changes. So I think we would probably say that they've done a lot of things, a lot of reforms. Certainly, we hope to see some additional changes. And as Dave referred to, we need to see a larger rainy day fund because the city would be at risk if a recession were to hit in the near term. So that's certainly one of our main priorities as we go into this next budget cycle, is we need to continue to build that.
We're talking about Lansing's fiscal outlook, specifically the city's unfunded retiree health care and pension obligations. David Hollister is the former mayor of Lansing and the chair of the city's financial health team. Eric Scorsone directs the MSU Extension Center for Local Government, Finance, and Policy. Both are members of the financial health team. We are talk to us about this performance-based budgeting. Is this, we're beginning this approach? What is it?
Well, Eric's an expert on it.
Well, the performance-based budgeting is a process where the city looks at how it's allocating resources to different departments and looking at what are the metrics, you know, what are we getting for those investments in each department? Are the departments meeting certain goals and objectives? And it's allowing the mayor and the council to manage in a more efficient, effective manner. It gives more transparency to how money's being spent by government for citizens. And it's a management tool that allows for sort of day-to-day shifts in priorities.
Does that differ significantly from current practice?
It does in the sense that current practice is we spend money. Here's how we spend it. We don't really know what the money's being spent for exactly, more than other than maybe anecdotal. So it's a little more systematic way to think about the process, trying to improve efficiency. Because like we've said, I mean, Lansing is a well-managed city, but we need to continue to move forward even to be more effective because the simple reality is revenues are not growing that much. And if there is a recession, they would probably decline. So like most cities in Michigan, they continue to face fiscal pressure.
But Mark, you would, by department, say we're going to reduce response time in the fire system to X number of minutes,
mm-hmm.
or a police an emergency will respond at this amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and you justify your staffing and your equipment buys and your technology based on these outcomes. You do the same thing whether you want a building inspected. You know, we hear complaints that because of shortage of building inspectors and code enforcement officers, we don't really know what we're buying and how, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you build those measures in, and then you can evaluate them annually instead of saying, this is what we spent last year, let's add 3%, and we'll just keep doing it the way we've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
We want outcome measures that are real, and you get community input on what they are.
More accountability, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk about what's always in the toolbox and just get your responses to each of these. I mean, obviously, there's always the option of increasing taxes. There's always the option of cutting services. Let's walk through what's always in the toolbox, and I'll just have you briefly respond to each one. Is a tax increase a feasible proposal for the city of Lansing?
I think not. Politically, it's a hard sell. This is a problem that's 20 years away. I don't know many city council people that are going to put their political careers on the line to solve a problem that's 20 years away, although that might be the right thing to do. Clearly not the most strategic political thing to do in the short term. So that doesn't seem to be an option. Bonding is an option. Some communities have looked at, they go out and sell bonds and pay off the liability, and hopefully that with the growth in the economy and good circumstances, they can, you know, not have to pay a price for that.
What about service cuts? I mean, that's the other side of the coin. Increase taxes, cut services. Or have we cut all the services that we realistically can cut at this point as a result of the recession and other forces?
I would say cutting services has been done to a large extent. We can certainly be more efficient, but I don't expect that to save huge amounts of money necessarily. So
Mark,
I would say it's
really
not
have to
likely.
Realize, I think Eric's done another study on disinvestment and the actual policies that have been made by the state and by the communities that make this maintaining your infrastructure, maintaining these long-term liabilities harder.
Mm-hmm.
For example, state revenue sharing has been cut year after year.
That was on my list.
It is one of those things that really troubles communities. But there's been tax limits, Proposal A. There was a TISH tax amendment when I was in the legislature. So there's been a number of policy decisions that make it harder for local governments to maintain services. And when you don't maintain services, you make cuts like they did in Flint. And there you're beginning to pay the price for years and years of neglect
and
disinvestment.
Are changes in revenue sharing on the horizon? Is this a priority in the legislature?
Not that I'm aware of at this time, no.
What we hear, service sharing and regionalism has been on the table for a long time. Is there more service sharing that could or should be done?
Yes. And we always cite the fire chief being shared by the city of Lansing, East Lansing. In fact, we had the fire chief at our last meeting talking about the progress they've made and some future developments that are coming down the line. But there's an area where it's ripe for development. We're talking about an assessor is one of those things. The mayor's talking about the river trail, turning over to the county, some kind of shifting responsibilities. So there's a lot of those regional things hold out great hope, but it's tough. There's lots of tough turf issues to be overcome.
What about adjusting the benefits of current employees? Has that been explored sufficiently, or is there room for progress there?
I think employees have made concessions already. I think the study we're proposing to do will look at other alternatives on the benefit side. I mean, it's going to have to be a common sense reform where each side comes to the table and sees the challenges. I mean, the unfunded liability is a problem for the taxpayer, but it's also a problem for the recipient because essentially you've been made promises for which funding is not available. So you have to decide, you know, in terms of your own financial planning, how you're going to address that. So to be fair to both sides, I think the challenge now is coming together. Are there common sense reforms where we can save money and also maintain a reasonable level of benefits for people that have earned it?
Now, the city plans to spend $100,000, I'm told, to hire an outside consulting firm to help your team explore some more solutions. The state is hopefully going to match that, from what I understand. Talk to us about this idea.
Well, one of the ideas we're looking at is shifting to Obamacare, that instead of maintaining this as a city and having a retirement system with one or two Lansing staff persons, shift that maybe to MERS or shift it to Obamacare. If you do that, then there's some policy issues you've got to come up with. The key here is trying to protect the individual who retired and has this as their main source of their livelihood, not to pull the rug out from under them. They retired with this expectation they'd have this service. So how do you minimize the damage as at the same time you're getting more efficient use of your dollar? That study, we think, will look at the Obamacare option, but there are other options of going under the state MERS system or others.
Do you have a particular consulting firm in mind here? What kind of firm are we talking about here?
We don't have any particular firm in mind. We need expertise from people who have looked at this in other communities. We need actuarial expertise to look at, you know, how would the options cost out. So we need a firm that can bring a kind of broad scope of services. But, you know, part of the RP process will be to determine who is the best qualified to do that.
What about a timeline for that? How do you expect that to unfold here? When?
We were looking at launching that before Christmas. But getting the approval from the state has been problematic, and their attention has been shifted to the kind of crisis that's going on in Flint. So we're really late, but there's no specific time. This is going to have to be done right, and so we're not as worried about that, but we're looking at potentially a national firm's bidding on this as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the progress that the financial team has been able to? This is a huge, really challenging problem. Do you generally feel good about the work that the financial team has done so far? Is it fair to say you're frustrated or?
Well, there are days when you're frustrated, but the thing that impresses me the most is how much has been embraced by both the mayor and the council. At our last meeting, we had 6 council members show up, and it's really been a forum for the mayor and the council, who are seen in the day-to-day as kind of adversarial. In our group forum with these community and business leaders, both the sides behave very well and have really gained a forum for a dialogue and decision-making. I think it's been very positive and helpful.
Can we assume Lansing can get its obligations under control without having to go to the emergency manager route? This is a prospect that Mayor Bernero has brought up on repeated occasions. He wants to avoid that scenario, understandably.
I think we can. We've seen other cities do it, other counties, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. Wayne County had a major reduction. Of course, they were under the emergency manager law through a consent agreement. But I think we can avoid that. I think there are tools and strategies, and I think hopefully this new report that we'll work on with the consulting firm is going to show us a pathway forward. I think the financial health team model has been very successful. We've had our ups and downs, of course, with any big challenge you will. But I think this is a model for many other communities in Michigan. I think we need to have these kind of tools to avoid emergency managers.
This model works.
Where have we heard that before, Mark?
Couldn't resist that. Couldn't resist that little quip. Well,
That model, Mark.
We do want to stay in touch here with you regarding the consulting firm and the next study and the next iteration and any other new ideas that may be put on the table. We want to stay on top of it. We want to thank both of our guests. Dave Hollister is the chair of the financial health team for the city of Lansing, and the former mayor, Eric Scorsone, is director of MSU's Extension Center for Local Government Finance and Policy. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.